You're listening to an Epic Film Guys Cinema Beat Minisode.
And welcome, film fans, to another edition of Epic Film Guys Cinema Beat. I am Epic Film Guy Justin. I am joined today by Loy Sauce. His name is Brian. Brian Loy. But we like to call him Loy Sauce on the show. How you doing, Brian?
Very well, thank you. How are you doing, Justin?
I'm fine. It's that thing that you like to say, that word, fine. It has more than one meaning, but I'm fine. Thank you for asking. But tonight, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to be talking about a little film that a lot of people, actually not that many people, saw over the weekend. It is Adam Wingard's Blair Witch, which Brian and I had the opportunity, it was a pretty great opportunity, I should say, to see early at an advanced screening at the local Alamo Drafthouse Cinema. I thought it was pretty cool, Brian. They like did the whole theater up to kind of look like, you know, Blair Witch.
Yeah, it was really neat. As you walked in the theater, in the little hallway there, they had piles of rocks, and as you walked in the theater, they had the stick figure, and then they had the fog machine going. So there was definitely an atmosphere in the theater, and people were there. They were excited to see it, and so was I.
Yeah, man, it looked like it was almost pretty much sold out for the most part, you know. And we also got these cool little pins, these little collector pins of the little Blair Witch logo, which I thought was pretty awesome. But to jump right into our review of Adam Wingard's Blair Witch, after discovering a video showing what he believes to be his sister's experiences in the demonic woods of the Blair Witch, James and a group of friends head to the forest in search of his lost sibling. Now, anyone out there that knows anything about the Blair Witch Project knows that this is basically a direct sequel to this film. But first and foremost, Brian, I'm going to throw it on to you for your initial thoughts on Blair Witch.
Before I get into my thoughts, let's talk a little bit about the history of this film, because Adam Wingard and Simon Barrett are a duo that I have had on my radar for a while now. They co-wrote and Adam Wingard directed You're Next and The Guest, two films which I thought were interesting and clever twists on their respective genre. You're Next was like a kind of a home invasion horror, and The Guest was more of a John Carpenter-style 80s thriller. And both of them were very clever and inventive and unique. Both have their flaws, but, you know, they're very interesting films. And so I approached Blair Witch with that same kind of expectation. And also the marketing of this film was pretty interesting, because initially it was a trailer was released for a film called The Woods.
Right,
and
right.
And I was like, okay, this, you know, this seems like a kind of a Blair Witch kind of ripoff. It was like people in the woods and running and screaming, and I wasn't really sure what to make of it. And I thought, well, because they're involved, because Adam Wingard is directing, I can only imagine that there's some kind of twist or reveal that's going to happen in the film that's going to, you know, it's going to be much more than just a Blair Witch ripoff, what seems on the surface. And then at Comic-Con, they did an unveiling event, a reveal event, where they revealed that the film was going to be called Blair Witch, and it was a sequel to the original Blair Witch Project.
I have to stop you there real quick. I remember when that hit, man, and I'm going to be completely honest with our listeners, Brian. I know you, I think you know this, but I was taking a shit, man, and it was like, I think 1 a.m, dude. Literally 1 a.m, I was taking a shit on my toilet, looking at Facebook on my phone, and Lionsgate posted a photo of what would originally be like the logo for The Woods, but now it has the Blair Witch logo and it says Blair Witch. And I literally thought like it was, they were trolling, dude. And then I saw the official page post it and a bunch of other people post it. So it wowed me, man. I have to say it wowed the crap out of me. And yeah, it helped me along on my situation on the toilet, I have to say.
Thank you for that lovely image.
Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off there with that bathroom anecdote there.
I'll be seeing that in my nightmares tonight.
Aw.
That's infinitely scarier than anything in Blair Witch.
Oh, man. Oh, but you're allowed to proceed now, Loy Sauce. I'm sorry.
Am I allowed?
Okay, I didn't mean to cut you off there, buddy.
Anyway, as I was saying before I was interrupted by Justin's poop story. Okay, so the original Blair Witch Project is a landmark in horror, in my opinion. And actually, it's kind of indisputable at this point. People have their opinions on the film. Some people think it's utterly terrifying, and some people think it's the most boring film ever made. I like the Blair Witch Project. In fact, I watched it recently, and it just reaffirmed why I like it so much. It focuses on the less is more approach to horror. And before the found footage genre was just flooded with films that suffered from a lack of understanding of what makes found footage scary, and it all just becomes a bunch of jump scare. It basically becomes a jump scare marathon.
Right.
And so I approached this new Blair Witch thinking that it was going to be something much more clever and subversive based on who was involved. And the fact that it was a sequel, I was like, okay, well, they can expand on the mythology. They can do something a little different from the original. Imagine my disappointment then when I saw Blair Witch and it turned out to be a remake of the first film disguised as a sequel that becomes a jump scare marathon. I turned to you after the movie ended and I said, well, it was certainly louder than the original. And you said, well, yeah, that might have something to do with how loud the volume is in the theater. Like, and I was like, no, that's not what I mean. I mean that the movie itself is loud. Like, it has an over-reliance on the jump scares. And what in the original was just, like, creepy sounds of, like, twig snapping is now the sound of the entire forest exploding. And, like I said, the original Blair Witch Project, the whole idea behind that film is less is more. And what you don't see is infinitely scarier than what you do see.
Right. So,
and it's just so frustrating because I wanted something smarter and something more clever than what is just a retread of a movie that came out, you know, over a decade ago that I don't know. It just, I wanted to love this film. I said to you before we walked in, I'm prepared to love it.
Yeah, you did. You definitely said that. Even though we had both discussed previous to going in the theater that the current Rotten Tomatoes score was rotten. It was at like 50% rotten or something like that. And it only got worse from there.
But to me, Rotten Tomatoes score doesn't mean that I won't end up loving it.
Of course not. Of course not. But we both had...
I think Abraham Lincoln Vampire Hunter is a modern masterpiece of cinema, and that got terrible reviews. So,
but you and I both have more of a confidence. We both agree on this. We both have more of a confidence about a film, suspense, thriller, or horror. We like seeing that it's not only successful as far as with critics, but box office wise. So the first thing that we have to look at is the initial reactions. Now, I never base my thoughts and feelings on critical consensus of a movie before I sit down to watch it. Never. Always on my own thoughts. After sitting through start to finish, I see the movie for myself. But you know, you walked in, you were prepared to love it. I have to preface this with, ladies and gentlemen, I'll be completely honest with you. The Blair Witch Project was the first movie that I, as an adult, well, I was an adult, I was actually a teenager. It was like middle school, early high school, 1999. I was a freshman in high school. It was the first movie that I ever sat down in the theater and I fell asleep to in the theater. And I woke up at the end and I saw it and I walked out and I was pissed because I was a hardcore horror fan then, just like I am now. And I felt like I was ripped off. It didn't do anything for me.
Did you fall asleep because it was boring or because you were tired?
It was boring, Brian. It was boring. Okay. I'll never say that I won't revisit that movie again. Is it on the top of my list to do? No, but I'm not saying that it's not possible. But, you know, I am an avid detractor of found footage films. Anyone that listens to our show already or that knows me personally knows that I do not like the found footage genre. In fact, I actually like to talk as much trash about it as possible because I hate it so much. It's not something that I look forward to. I usually skip almost every single found footage horror movie that comes out in the theaters. But however, as you had said very nicely in your introduction to your thoughts about the movie, as soon as I saw the trailer, which we reviewed on the Epic Film Guys podcast during our Epic Preview segment months ago when it was still called The Woods. I was extremely interested in this movie, especially considering the fact that Adam Wingard was involved with writer Simon Barrett, who had done The Guest and You're Next. The Guest is one of my favorite movies of the past couple of years. I absolutely love that movie. You know, so for me, the anticipation level was high. And then when I heard it was a Blair Witch movie, that even stepped it up a level higher than that. But, you know, for me, I'm not a huge fan of the original like you are, Brian, and I'm definitely not a fan of found footage. So walking into this, I kind of just wanted to be entertained and to see a good found footage movie. In my opinion, there's very little that can be done within that genre to really change the game. But I was expecting a game-changing film from Blair Witch. Unfortunately, it's definitely not a game changer. But for me, it served up enough scares. It definitely had enough of a genuinely frightening, intense feeling to it throughout that I felt was kind of like a true love letter to the original film that made it all worthwhile for me.
Well, I can completely understand it because I had the same feelings. Like, it did what it was supposed to do.
Right.
And that it made me extraordinarily nervous. I was looking around the theater and seeing everyone's reactions, and people were enraptured by what was happening on the screen, and people were engaged and, you know, jumping and all that kind of stuff that you want people to do in a horror film. And so that's where I have such mixed emotions about this film, because I thought, as far as found footage goes, I mean, it's very well done, because, you know, there are a couple exceptions, like, you know, Cloverfield and The Taking of Deborah Logan and movies like that I thought were excellent, but the found footage genre is mostly filled with crap, pretty
garbage.
Much like
Complete
the devil
garbage.
Inside yeah
right.
Yeah, just crap. So as far as found footage movies go, this was very well done. It had, you know, certain moments were intense, and it was a couple scary things here and there, but it just relies on, first of all, for me, it relied way too much on the jump scares. Like,
I have to agree. I hate jump scares. Any hardcore horror fan these days, they would agree. All right, let's just get this out of the way. Jump scares suck. I don't mind them when there's a couple of them, when they're used effectively throughout the film. But definitely, this was just kind of like stack full of them, to the extent where I was kind of getting a little bit of annoyed with it. I mean, I understood. I kind of expected them there. But, you know, I kind of expected more from Wingard. And I guess a lot of my thoughts on this, I have to say, come from the simple fact that my anticipation level and my expectations were a little bit higher than normal, because I knew, you know, Wingard was directing this movie. A great team between him and Barrett. You kind of expected a little bit more. This is the third, you know, more major type of movie that they're making together. So with the jump scares, I kind of was like, they were getting old there. But
they even have a character who says, "Stop doing that." And I was like, yeah, stop doing that. Because at one point, you know, at several points in the movie, people just jump out and scream for no reason. And I'm like, what are they? First of all, where did they come from? Because, you know, when you're in the woods, when you're in the forest, you'd hear someone coming up behind you. And then second of all, why you have to jump out and scream like that? Like, there's no reason to.
Well, I have to say, you know, even though they're out in the woods, this vast area, huge, huge area, I felt that they did a really good job of making it feel very claustrophobic. You know, especially the way that it was shot within the trees and stuff. I mean, like I said, it's found footage, so it's really hard to be kind of innovative with that. But a lot of the shots, like, they really did a good job of making you feel like you were closed in, like you're looking behind you, like you don't really know what's around you environment. And I think they did a good job with that. Like you said, it did as good of a job as it could with what the subject matter was to a point. It did its job. It did nothing above what its job was. But moving on from that, because I know we could go on forever about that, Brian, what did you think of the characters in the movie?
Completely unmemorable, and I didn't like a single one of them.
Whoa, ouch, really? You didn't like any of them?
I mean, they were fine. It's not like they were unlikable characters or I just wanted them to die. There was just nothing memorable
about them. I wish they were unlikable enough that you wanted them to die.
Well, yeah, I mean, in the original, you had, you know, they're pretentious film students, and they're all kind of douchebag characters, but I don't know. I like the Heather character. I like her dynamic with the other two guys in the original, and how they kind of turn on each other and how they start getting on each other's nerves. And then it becomes something much more intense with their relationship, especially after one of them goes missing and the other two, and there's that tension between them. This one had nothing. Like, they were just people. the whole conceit of the film doesn't make sense to me because...
Yeah, I wanted you to flesh this out a little bit because I started thinking about this after we left the movies and we had a beer discussion after the movie, and it really started to like build a little bit inside me. So let's hear it, man. I know what you're going to say. Why did he wait so long, right? Why did he wait so long?
Well, yeah, like, okay, because the conceit of this film is that Heather's brother comes across the footage on YouTube, and that inspires him, I guess, to go out and look for her. But it's been 14 years.
And, a little bit long to wait.
Yeah, man. I mean, there was a search party, in the film it's established that there was a search party to find her.
Right.
But he finds this footage and he thinks that she must be alive somehow. And he's like, I'm going to go in the woods to find her.
That's a little delusional, I'd have to say, man. Like, not even, you know, I wanted to think that these kids were real. And for the most part, they were portrayed very realistically as far as the actors portraying them. But the subject matter to which, you know, they're performing based upon that, it just felt like, no, I don't know anyone there in their right mind that would have that much hope, that would think that many years down the line that their sister would still be alive after missing, and in the woods, mind you.
Right. And if this film were set like a year or two after the original, then it would make more sense. But obviously it's set in modern day. They have more modern cameras. They have drones and things like that. So that's obviously not the case. So that just kind of bothered me. I could look past it because it's a movie, you know, like but the whole central conceit of the film didn't really sit right with me. The other thing I want to commend the movie for is the use of cameras, because often the roadblock you'll come across in found footage movies is like, why are they still filming? Why don't they just turn the camera off and run for their lives? And in this one, they kind of got around that by having the characters wear these little earpieces that have cameras on them. So wherever they go, they have a camera on them that's always on. And so, you know, you get a scene where, you know, character's taking a piss and he knows he has the camera on. He's just like, hope no one ever sees this or whatever. And so they kind of got past the idea of like, why are they still filming? In the original, it makes sense because they're pretentious film students and they're documenting everything, but it doesn't make a whole lot of sense in movies like Chronicle. There's a thing in Chronicle that makes me so angry. There's a scene where Andrew's in the hospital. There's like a camera on him in the hospital room. And then there's like off-screen voices saying like, oh, we have to keep the camera on him for security reasons. I'm like, you never have a camera in a hospital. That doesn't make any sense. So this film kind of, it got around some of those roadblocks that you come into in the found footage genre. And I commend them for that. And also the use of, you know, drone technology, I thought was pretty interesting in this film to get kind of those sweeping shots of the forest.
The one thing that, you know, I think that it worked really well for me, you know, obviously there's going to be an addition of modern day technology because it's modern day film. But I loved the fact that, you know, we're so reliant on this technology with our phones, our GPS, you know, and it almost brought a stronger tension to the film because we have these additional advantages to ourselves. This technology is there. We feel more safe because of it. But yet these characters, they're trying to, spoiler alert, use it in the movie, but it's not working because of where they're at and the location and what's happening around them. It makes you feel even more lost. It makes you feel even more like frightened because of the fact that, like, oh my God, none of my devices are working and we're so dependent on them. You know, what do we do without them? Like, honestly, think about it. Take any teenager that's been brought up with a cell phone or having a GPS in the car or anything. I'm like, throw them out in the woods, Brian, without any of them. And, you know, what are they going to do?
Yeah.
Unless they were brought up being like a Boy Scout or something. Like, kids today, even like, you know, 20-somethings, millennials, I'm included in that myself, as well as you, are brought up with like so many different things that are advantages that are easier for us. But you think back to, you know, years and years ago, like, hey man, we don't have cell phones out in the woods. And if you did, you're not going to get reception out there. So I thought like it actually brought an added tension to the film, knowing that we have these extra devices, you know, we feel more safe because of them. And when they're not working, it adds to the tension. But, you know,
I agree.
Moving on from that, we had the characters as a sequel. Let's just end it up with this. Does it stack up, Brian?
No. And here's why. This is going to be, I guess, my version of Nick's rants. This is going to be Brian's rants, I guess.
Shut up! Shut up! No! Shut up!
No!
Wrong!
Now shut the fuck up and let me do my
job! Stop it, you wing, you baiting shit!
The original, like I said, I keep going back to this, but less is more. Hearing a sound in the woods and not knowing who or what made it is infinitely scarier than hearing a sound in the woods and knowing who or what made it. I don't want to give away spoilers, but I feel like this film showed and revealed way too much. What makes the original scary, and people say, like, oh, the original's not scary, because what's the scariest thing that happens? They walk out of their tent and see a pile of rocks? Ooh. Ooh. Like, it's, ooh. Right. Ooh, rocks. But the reason why I think that's so much more effective is because, really, the Blair Witch can be anything. There might not even be a Blair Witch. You know what I mean? Based on just that movie, and what I feel like this movie did is say, this is exactly what's happening. This sequel said, like, this is exactly what's happening. So in a way, it kind of destroys what makes the original so intriguing and so scary. All of the first film's subtlety and restraint is just thrown out of the window with this movie. It holds your hand and says, this is exactly what's happening.
But I think, and, you know, I get that. I hate to cut you off there, Brian. I know you're so passionate about this because you're such a huge fan of the original film. I don't think that kind of restraint would work in this movie. And I definitely think that they knew going into this, you know, what kind of modern day audience that they're dealing with and what they're expecting. And that's, like, I think the part that is bothering you, and it bothers me a little bit too, especially when we're going back to the jump scares, unlikable characters. You know, they kind of know what they're dealing with, and they're kind of like, well, these are the things we don't have to worry about, and these are the things that we do have to worry about. And, you know, obviously there's going to be some problems, and we definitely had those in there. I know that I liked the film a little bit more than you did. It sucks that you didn't like it as much as I hoped that you would, you know, because we both knew this could have been a great movie. This could have really been a game changer for the genre, especially with who was attached. But I mean, overall.
Well, I don't like to call out other reviewers when I'm reviewing a film myself.
Oh, no, but, you're going to go there.
I looked at some reviews coming out before the film and that were attached, and it's like one of the scariest movies ever made and like a game changer in the genre. And I happened across Bloody Disgusting's review of the movie. And okay, let me just say,
you know, that he, you know, he worked with them.
Well, okay, that's exactly my point. That's exactly my point. Here's the thing. This is his opinion, and that's perfectly fine. I respect him for that, and I'm sure this is what he really feels. But let me just read you something. He says, Wingard and Barrett are magicians using sleight of hand to distract the audience. It's pretty clear that the duo know a lot of horror fans were disappointed or underwhelmed by the Blair Witch Project and its finale. This film pretends to be that, and while the audience believes more and more that they're watching a remake of the original, Wingard and Barrett are preparing a third act twist that's as intense as any horror film has ever been. Can you explain to me what that twist is, Justin? Did this movie end with a twist that is as intense as any horror film has ever been? Is it, as he proclaims it to be, an emotional experience that transcends traditional narrative storytelling and ascends to a place of nirvana?
No. But I would admit that I think that it was a pretty tense ending, though.
Yes, but... Okay, yes. I get, like, I admit, my heart was pumping, too. But... that ending kind of pisses all over the original Blair Witch. And that as a film fan, as a fan of the original, and as a fan of the horror genre, that kind of offends me. And I feel like they're so much smarter than that, these filmmakers. So I don't know if it was the studio saying, like, you need to do this, do that. I don't know, because I know they were under the studio system a
little
bit more this
time. They definitely were. Yeah, they definitely were, yeah.
But this review says the film breaks the mold of traditional horror and pushes the boundaries to the absolute brink. And then at the end of the review, he says, full disclosure, both VHS films were produced by Bloody Disgusting. So it's like he even says in his review that he's biased. Like, and it just, it grinds my gears a little bit, because we live in a culture now that's just like, you know, films are either the best movie ever or the worst movie ever. And why can't a movie ever just be? You know what I mean? At any rate,
but, you know,
I'm a little fired up because I loved the original. I wanted to love this film, and I came out with such mixed emotions. There were things about it that I did really like, and I was affected viscerally by the intensity of the film. But man, I was just really let down walking out of that theater.
Well, let's get to it, man. Right now, ratings, man. I want to hear your rating for Blair Witch.
I'm going to have to go with a 5 out of 10 on this one. Kind of middle of the road reaction, where it's like, I want to give these filmmakers credit because they are good filmmakers. Up until now, they were doing creative, original stuff. And to see them go the way of a sequel that's like a retread of the original film and not doing much that's daring or new or fresh, it saddens me. And I would recommend watching this film if you're looking for a film that delivers thrills around the fall, you know, or the Halloween season. But I want to just stress, don't expect anything more than a retread of the original that's louder and morier and has more jump scares and is just not as authentic or original. Man, I'm just let down by this thing.
That's unfortunate. You know, I'm on the other side of the coin there. This was not as big of a disappointment for me. I thought it served up the scares where they needed to be. It definitely is the movie to see during this Halloween season. If you're looking for something to go out and be scared to, you want to take your wife. I mean, like the girl next to me, man, she had her head on the dude next to her shoulder the entire film, completely freaked out. I mean, for me, the original Blair Witch Project, many do see it, as Brian said, as, you know, one of those influential films of the genre. I don't see it that way. I definitely respect those that do. But for me, I actually liked Adam Wingard's Blair Witch a touch better. That's not saying it's a great film, because I don't think it is. It's definitely got its fair share of problems. But overall, I liked it enough where I would recommend it to anyone to go see in the theater. I'm going to give Adam Wingard's Blair Witch a 7 out of 10 rating. I hate that you didn't like it as much as I did, Brian, but hey, let's face it, man. Anything's better than Book of Shadows, Blair Witch 2, which is a complete piece of shit. And in my opinion, you know, you could see that this was a love letter to the original. It is louder. It is more, you know, within the lines of what we expect of the modern day horror film. But you know what? You could tell they really cared about the original. These guys love the original, and it showed in this film. So 7 out of 10 for me. And a 5 out of 10 for Brian. Oh, well, you know, this may not be a crowd pleaser for everyone, but hey, we still recommend you guys check it out in the theaters. We want to know what you think of the film, so be sure to let us know. And look forward to more Epic Film Guys Cinema Beat segments for our reviews for all the upcoming films coming to theaters. But until next time, I'm Epic Film Guy Justin.
And I'm Loisos.
Loisos, with your long response there. You took way too long to get back to that, man.
Oh, I'm sorry, I didn't but I didn't know if you were waiting for me.
Be sure to check out our regular episode hitting your airways every single Thursday, and we'll see you at the movies.